Welcome to Studio Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. The Tulsa Symphony continues its season with a pops program that's not devoted to a style or era of music or even a particular artist, but to a road that's had an enormous cultural impact on multiple generations to this day. Guest conductor Ron Spiegelman leads the orchestra in a multimedia concert devoted to Route 66. He calls it a 2,400-mile musical journey that begins in Chicago and ends in L.A., but it's more, and it has a strong emotional impact in the way this road once connected us in fact and today still does in memory and nostalgia. The Tulsa Symphony Orchestra presents Route 66 tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center with Symphony Pops conductor Ron Spiegelman. He's the former music director of the Springfield Symphony in Missouri. He also currently leads the Lake Placid Sinfonietta in the summer and is a previous Pops conductor with the Fort Worth and Syracuse Symphonies. And he's my guest today on Studio Tulsa. Ron, welcome back to Studio Tulsa. Thanks very much for joining us.
Great to be here, as always.
Yeah. Tell us about the origins of this program on Route 66. The orchestra is basically taking a road trip from Chapman Music Hall.
Absolutely. What we're going to do is, the origins, yes. I came up with this idea, I think about 10 years ago. I was living in Springfield, Missouri on Route 65. I was that close. And, I drove on Route 66 every day. It fascinated me. Every day I'd see a different sign. I'd see a different... So I just did my research and discovered, of course, that, the origins of Route 66 were in Springfield and in Tulsa. And I've been working a lot with the Tulsa Symphony, and, of course, I was music director in Springfield. And I thought, there's got to be a way we can talk about this in our language, the language of music, and then come up with the idea of a pops concert that is about a journey rather than just, a bunch of random songs like... Everybody does big band and movies, and why don't we do something that's topical, that's relatable? And Route 66 was perfect because everybody drives on it. I mean, they still do, and sometimes they don't even know. And I thought, why don't we do a trip down memory lane or memory road, and let's make this a concert about what happened, because this was – kind of the artery of America. This was the way you got to, A to B in terms of from the Midwest to the West Coast. And there was a time when this road trip was the journey. It was the destination. It wasn't where you were going. It was the journey. And I feel like, we've lost that. Now it's about how fast can we get from point A to point B? Let's build giant six-lane interstates or eight-lane interstates. And get there as fast as possible. And, the film Cars kind of alluded to that, where there's a wonderful scene where they're overlooking the interstate to say, to save 10 minutes, they built this interstate. And so now everybody bypasses Radiator Springs and forgets what it was once like when you were cruising down Main Street, stopping in for a malt and a burger and fries, staying at a quirky hotel with wigwams or cones or... going through a bridge that was a giant blue whale, things like that were America. That was America. That was how we got around. I mean, I grew up in Australia, but, I've been in America over 20 years. That's how people went on vacation. They loaded up their wagons, their
And every one of those communities along those roads were thinking of a way to separate the money from the person driving through with all sorts of crazy stuff.
That's right. Each town had that feel of, hey, we're on the route and this is our version of your journey. And when you stop with us, this is what you get by being here. And so these places became unforgettable. Of course, the song definitely helped, which Nat King Cole, of course, made famous first. And what happened? It kind of, it was decommissioned. And so there are now parts that you can't even drive on. You kind of can drive next to it, or I've even got a picture in this concert where you actually see one of the grassed over sections next to the interstate. I mean, literally next to it.
Right.
And it's not. And there's a fence going through it, a barbed wire fence, because it's part of someone's property now. Think about it. The Cadillac Ranch, these angled Cadillacs sticking in the ground. I mean, who came up with this idea? who came up with the giant Gemini astronaut holding a rocket in the middle of a town in Chicago? These things that kind of defined character and quirkiness,
they've been replaced by these sort of sanitized freeways. So what I thought was, why don't we just take that journey again and let's do it through music? Because there is so much music linked to the route and to the era. And let's have a little bit of history, but let's have some fun with it as well.
So where do you start? Do you start in Chicago?
We start in Chicago. I mean, we're gonna have wonderful singers come on and do the song to start the whole program, just as a little warm-up, and then a cappella version. And then we're going to start in Chicago. And the idea would be, you know, we're going to play music from the musical. We're going to show pictures of Chicago in 1926 when the road was commissioned. We're going to show images from the show, some of the iconic Chicago architecture. And then we're on our way. And then what we'll do is we'll not just take a road trip. We'll celebrate things about the road. So we'll have Shaboom, and we'll celebrate the diners. And so we're going to have like 20 wonderful pictures of old diners that, you know, it's like acres of neon and these wonderful signs. There'll be everybody is here from out of town, and then we'll have the hotels. We'll celebrate the hotels. You know, we'll do things like that on the way. But at the same time, we'll take the journey through Missouri. And so we'll get to St. Louis and, of course, St. Louis Blues. Mm-hmm. And I've got a great picture of a poster with Bessie Smith, who sang a great version of that song. It's a cartoon poster, but it's a real poster, like what an image of. And then I've got a, you know, and there's places like Ted Drew's Custard. You know, there's right. on Route 66, the High Point Theater, which isn't there anymore, but we've got a picture of it. And then I've got really some great series of images of the arch being built. You know, so this is all going to happen while we play St. Louis Blues. And it kind of gives people the sense of everything being built along the route and all these iconic places that still exist. And now you have the arch, and now it's more connected with Busch Stadium and the St. Louis Cardinals more than it is Route 66. But it was part of that. You know, people looked to build things on the route because they knew people would drive by it. You know, who knew that that would change? But now, thankfully, I feel like, oh, yeah, no, it's coming back. People are starting to restore places. The more signs are going up. I think Tulsa is probably the poster child for how you celebrate the route by having a museum and association. And, you know, here we are. We're just steps away from it on 11th Street. You know, we're going to have, of course, we're going to have some Tulsa landmarks in there. Tally's Cafe is in some of the images, the Desert Hills Motel. And so, you know, the music will also include some beautiful pieces like The Wide Missouri, the beautiful song that was arranged by Carmen Dragon. And so we're going to have images of the Mississippi River where it meets the Missouri River. And one side is like green water and one side is brown water.
Yeah.
And they you know, it's that idea that everything kind of meets, you know, and Route 66 is a part of all of that.
It sounds like you had a lot of fun putting this program together.
I love putting this program together. I mean, I'm going to jump around a bit here, but, you know, of course, we're going to do music from Oklahoma, and we're going to have all those great sort of attractions of 10 or 12 images. There's the Gold Dome Bank in Oklahoma City, which is on the roof, that wonderful circular barn that's close to here. And you know, that's all going to be on there, as well as some sunsets. You've got to have those, and the plains and the mountains. You know, there's just so much fun when you actually look into this and you go through the imagery of yesteryear to today and to just see in some ways they didn't modernize a lot of these places and left them the way they were. And it kind of gives you a sense of the history of it and just, you know, how important. You know, the signs may be rusted, but once upon a time – they were gleaming. And so I feel like we bring back a bit of the shine when we add music to it.
Yeah. From the program, it sounds like it could be easy to get overtly sentimental, but it sounds like you don't really fear that in the program.
No, it's not about – there is some sentimentality in it. Later in the show, we're very grateful for Ken Busby and the Route 66 Association for providing some fantastic footage of Oklahoma and Tulsa back in the day, you know, and you'll see – a 10-minute video near the end of the program, which we play Copeland's beautiful Our Town. And it shows, you know, Tulsa back then, and it shows Route 66. And there's definitely some sentimentality there. But at the same time, it's also a celebration. You know, it's the idea of we're going to celebrate the road trip because, you know, I know a lot of people in the audience will have incredible memories from when they were children driving on this road in their cars. They would wash them. They would dress in their finest, and they would cruise. And it's the idea of we're going on a musical cruise, in a sense. But this is not on the ocean. This is on our iconic Mother Road. And we're going to celebrate, for instance, the different names of the highway, the Mother Road being one. But, of course, it was the Will Rogers Highway. So we're going to do Hoedown from Rodeo because it's the ultimate buckaroo piece, right? And so there are some great posters, images of him. There's even a lunch pail I found a picture of.
Really? That's going way back.
Oh, yeah. And so we're going to celebrate him as well and the fact that it was, you know, his highway. And he was such an important guy. Such an important figure in the 20th century, and of course, such an important Oklahoman. So we're going to celebrate him as well because, you know, he hasn't been with us for so many years. But in some ways, you know, when you go to Veneta and you see the monument, and we're going to have the monument, there's a picture there. Of course, there's also that giant McDonald's over the freeway, but we're not going to talk about that. No pictures of that because that's not really linked to the route.
Now, you talk about the monument on the highway or the memorial?
Yeah, there's
a
wonderful
on the memorial.
The memorial, yeah.
Yeah, in Claremore, yeah.
That's the one in Claremore, yes. I love that monument, and there's a nice picture of that. So, yeah, there's a lot of celebration and a lot of fun we're going to have with this because, of course, you have to make a stop in Vegas. Yes, it's not on the route, but it's linked to the route. And so we're going to do an Elvis medley and have some great images of him gyrating and, you know. Maybe I'll do some of that too. Who knows? You never know.
You never know.
I don't think I've got time to grow my sideburns.
Have to get the jumpsuit out.
No, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get that on in time in front of the audience. That might be an uncomfortable moment for everybody, but especially me. The fact is that it was so linked to that era of rock and roll, we have to include some of that as well. And then, of course, we end with a wonderful arrangement by Larry Dalton of the song Route 66 that has great jazz clarinet solo, of course, David Carter, who just slays that stuff. He'll be terrific in that.
And that's the Nelson Riddle, originally Nelson Riddle arrangement.
Right.
Composition.
And this kind of is inspired by that. And, you know, like I say, the concert itself is going to have a lot of, I guess you could call it education, but it's more like a reminiscence. And going even further back than that, we're going to cover the Grapes of Wrath, John Steinbeck, and of course the movie, which is, you know, the migration on Route 66. And so we have some absolutely spectacular images of the Dust Bowl era, of these massive dust storms coming over cities, and, I mean, small towns, and showing the actual migration, and a couple of images from the film. And one little fun element is going to be, there's a very rare picture, you can find it, we've managed to find a way to make it a little more high res so it can be seen on the big screen, of Bonnie and Clyde standing next to a Route 66 sign.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And then I've also got next to that an image of their hideout in Joplin, Missouri, you know, where they actually left evidence that later was to be very, very important to their ultimate untimely death. I would say untimely. I mean, they certainly caused a lot of that on their own. It would have been nice to put them on trial. But nevertheless, the point is that there's just a lot of great imagery in this concert. I think that people are going to really kind of attach to and remember, you know, the Chain of Rocks Bridge, and you've got the Bridge in Pryor, you know, all those things that have memories for people are going to be there. But at the same time, the idea is hopefully people will then go, you know what, we should go see some of this stuff.
Yeah.
You can go to the Blue Whale. Right. It's in Catoosa. You know, it's there. And it's fun to see that stuff. And then to know that once upon a time, everybody driving, Elvis himself, drove through that whale at one point to get to a gig, probably. You know, Johnny Cash, all these people did. Because that was, it was a 2,451-mile paved road, the first one. And so that was the way you got through the heart of America. And so I'm trying to bring back the idea of the heart of America. But let's do it through music and let's have some fun with it. I think it's a pops concert. At the same time, it's more than just a concert. It's, I think, you know, it's a real sort of exercise in just to sort of bring you back to that time of history in America and the ultimate Americana, which is Route 66 and those great small towns that you're going to celebrate all throughout the concert.
My guest today is Ron Spiegelman, the Tulsa Symphony Orchestra Pops conductor. He'll be leading the orchestra in a program titled Route 66, Saturday evening at 7:30 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center. And he's our guest today on Studio Tulsa. Now, you mentioned one of the classical music pieces you'll be playing is Our Town,
yes,
which actually is written about a fictional New England town. But for, I guess, purposes of this evening, it represents Tulsa. Why don't we hear a little bit of Copland's music here? Here's music from Our Town here on Studio Tulsa. That's music by Aaron Copland, which will be performed by the Tulsa Symphony this Saturday evening in their Pops Concert, Route 66, with my guest today, Ron Spiegelman. And in addition to that particular piece of Copland, there's one other piece of Copland. Is there any classical music that sort of exemplifies the Route 66?
You know, it's so funny you should say that, because I think of the definition of classical to me is something you want to hear again.
Right.
You know? So it's a question of, okay, so in 1926, Gershwin wrote the Piano Concerto in F, but he also wrote the song Someone to Watch Over Me. So I feel like, okay, the same person that wrote that piece, which is performed all over the world in symphony halls, also wrote these great songs, which I feel
which are
like,
also performed all over the
well,
world.
Well, all over the world. And I feel like that, you know, the Great American Songbook, to me, is classical music,
sure,
in one sense. And so speaking of that song, we do that song, and then we do a reminiscence of music from 1926. You've got the heebie-jeebies with Louis Armstrong. You've got the Red Red Robin is bop, bop, bopping along, you know. But also you've got Janáček's Markopoulos Affair premiered in that year as well. So, you know, of course, the two Copland pieces are going to be the sort of center classical pieces. But one other piece that we're going to do, which is also in my mind considered classical music and is also performed by symphony orchestras, is, of course, the Grand Canyon Suite. See, I think Route 66 doesn't lead to the Grand Canyon, but it is an attraction along the way that nobody misses usually when you are
right.
on the
you
route.
You go to Williams and you take the train.
Right, exactly. And you go to the Grand Canyon. And so I found just absolutely beautiful. I mean, there's so many great images of the Grand Canyon that people have taken over the years. So we're going to do the sunrise from Ferde Grofe's Grand Canyon Suite, which is absolutely glorious, has such a beautiful climactic moment. And so that's why I'm so looking forward to this, because, you know, we do something like that and then we go to Vegas and do Elvis, you know, and start with Zarathustra. So there you go. You go from sunrise in the Grand Canyon to sunrise in Thus Spake Zarathustra, leading into Hound Dog. Which, tell me, out there, if Elvis is not classical, what's classical? You know? So I think of, you know, so we have those specific pieces, the Hoedown, Our Town, Copland's Our Town. And the reason I chose Our Town is because, one, it's the title, because the video is about Tulsa, and it's Our Town, and that's where the video will play. And it's movie music. It's beautiful, gorgeous, like, you can just see the landscape in front of you if you close your eyes and listen to that music. In this case, you don't need to, because it's going to be in front of you on the screen.
And it's portraying an everywhere.
And right.
You know,
exactly.
Everywhere American.
Exactly. And just like the movie Cars, which we're going to do the big race from that movie, the Randy Newman music, it has that feel to it as well. You know, when you watch that music, there's a classical feel where you kind of see this incredible landscape and you see this small town and you think, you know, Copland wrote music about this place. It wasn't that particular place, but you play Appalachian Spring or you play Hoedown or anything from Rodeo, especially Chorale Nocturne, Red Pony, Billy the Kid. It's a universal thing. You know, it's like, oh yes, that's what America sounds like. So that's why I wanted to make sure we included Copland Groffet. I think people will really, dare I say it, get a kick on Route 66 with this program, because I think it has something for everyone. And the imagery, too, I've mixed it up between images from today, images from yesteryear, and, you know, showing something in all its glory and then seeing the remnants of it, you know, and just having that moment in time be recreated for them in a concert. The Journey Pops, I like to call it.
There you go. Now, you have a lot of special guests that will be a part of the evening.
Tulsa Metro Sound is our special guest. They are singing in My Merry Oldsmobile. Is there anybody out here from out of town? They're going to do a version of Route 66. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun to have them on the program, for sure. And because you kind of need the voice. They're going to do Shaboom as well. Why not? It's going to be a lot of fun.
Well, it sounds like a fun program, and it sounds like that's how you really designed it, to just sort of be this sort of cool travelogue from a seat with the orchestra playing.
Right, absolutely. That was the whole idea behind it. And when I came up with it 10 years ago, I didn't realize at the time just how sentimental people or how much they were linked to Route 66. When I was living in Springfield, Missouri, downtown was Route 66. You went through downtown. Right. And in the video we made for that concert, there was some great footage showing how downtown just all the stores closed, the malls opened, everything was started to be boarded up. But still they had the parades through the square, and we had parades, posters, pictures from the 40s, 50s, 60s. And some people came up to me afterwards and said, "Can I get a copy? Because I saw myself in that parade when I was a kid. I saw myself on video tonight." They had never even realized they were being filmed. And they were crying. It's like, oh my gosh, you just brought back my whole childhood.
And you know, the great thing about both of those community, Route 66 communities, was when you first did this program, Springfield was all bordered up downtown. Now it is thriving.
Yes,
just
thriving.
As like when Tulsa, the carpets rolled up at 5 o'clock.
Right.
Now it's a fairly thriving.
It's doing right.
If not 24-hour downtown,
no.
About 20 to 22-hour.
Right, exactly. No, it's getting there. And I agree. I mean, I think we're starting to recognize we need to celebrate what we have and what once was by bringing it back in some shape or form, whether it's to repurpose a building into a business, but to keep some of the original elements. I think of Tulsa and I think of places like The Vault Restaurant at 7th and Cincinnati. Not that I'm wanting to give anybody advertising, but they were like, this bank was built in 1959. Let's keep it the way it was and just change it into a restaurant. And so, you know, I like that idea of, you know, let's keep what we had, even though we're repurposing it. And, you know, every day I'll see a different building. I'm like, you know, I wonder what that once was. And you can tell. Once that was probably a gas station or a burger joint or, you know, right. Now it's an art gallery or now it's a dry cleaner. But so what? I think it's great that the buildings stay and the businesses move in and out, but the architecture stays alive. And I hope even more restoration is done. I love seeing all the plaques when you go down the street on 11th. You see the plaques for things that were here, or you see the Meadow Gold sign. You know, I've got a picture. There's a video. In the video, there's the original location where that was.
Right. Yeah.
And I had a picture. I took it out because I thought, wow, they can actually see it actually working, you know, where as it once was. And I think, you know, this is the sort of thing we need to keep alive, because the generations need to know what this was and hopefully, you know, appreciate it and celebrate it just like we are in this concert.
All right. Route 66 takes place this Saturday evening. Ron, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you.
Tulsa Symphony Pops conductor Ron Spiegelman speaking with us here on Studio Tulsa. He'll be leading the orchestra in Route 66, a multimedia event tomorrow evening at 7:30 at the Tulsa Performing Arts Center's Chapman Music Hall. For information, visit TulsaSymphony.org as we hear more music from the program tomorrow evening from Ferdy Groffet's Grand Canyon Suite. You're listening to Studio Tulsa. Here's the comments of Mark Dara.
The other morning I got up and checked the Tulsa weather on the internet. Sunny and clear. I got ready for work, walked out the door, and rain hit my head. Low-hanging purple-black clouds dimmed the morning sun. If I had looked out the window or stepped outside, instead of looking at a screen, I would have known the weather by experience, not experience mediated through someone else's data gathering, collection, and dissemination. Direct experience beats mediated experience, and mediated experience is better by far than no experience. Don't get me wrong. Much of what we know is acquired indirectly. You wouldn't be hearing me without the technology of this radio station, and you being able to hear me through whatever means you do. Much of what is common knowledge about biology, history, and other academic fields comes to us mediated through books and other vehicles. Facts learned secondhand allow us to join the great stories of fiction, film, and stage. Still, this form of indirect knowledge distorts and can transmit inaccurate information. That's why in the American legal system, adversaries have the right to interrogate witnesses, to test the validity of facts mediated through observation, memory, and prejudice. I can read old stories of the fall of the Berlin Wall, see photographs and videos, or read historical accounts. It would not be equal, though, to the experience of being present when the wall fell. Direct experience provides us something real. We feel the rain on our heads, see the clouds in the sky, smell the approach of a shower. We see the wall fall. We feel the joy of those gathered. The symbol of mediated experience for our generation is the screen. The television screen, the computer screen, the smartphone screen, the tablet screen. These screens allow us to observe what we might not ever see and let us do marvelous things. But these screens limit our experience too. If a spouse sends a text that says, "I love you," does the receiving spouse know whether the statement is made tongue-in-cheek or sincere? If you Skype with a friend across town and the friend says, "I have no fear," how do you know if his scent betrays his words? The screen does just what it is called. It screens. It compresses and filters the experience, which may be fine if you're making a hotel reservation or buying the ticket to a sports event. I want more. I want to hear your voice, feel your warmth, smell your smell, touch your hand. I want to be present, not just an image on a screen. I want the real and the direct. If you do too, you can text me at 918-625.
Mark Dara is a local attorney, a writer and essayist, a regular contributor to Studio Tulsa, and he's the author of a collection of essays, A Catalog of Common People. Well, that's Studio Tulsa for today. Our program is produced and edited by Scott Gregory. The views of our guests and commentators are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of KWGS or its licensee, the University of Tulsa. I'm Rich Fisher. Thanks for listening.